Be not drunk with wine, where there is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Father, I need your anointing. I need your strength. I need your presence. Be with me. Stand beside me. Under the roof. But more than anything, let this congregation of people hear my message. As we continue to preach, all we need to be filled with the Spirit. In your name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. Let me repeat myself from the last several weeks. And all I'm going to say, there is no necessity for us to be filled with the Spirit. The Bible says, walk in the Spirit. You cannot walk in the Spirit if you do not have the Spirit. We're told to pray with the understanding, but we're told to pray with the Spirit also. We've dealt with the fact that every time there has been the need for an intervention of God, God's always come through. He's always intervened. He's always met needs. At a time when man could not get any glory for the answer, there is no glory for anyone except God. I'm preaching to you that I believe that we're back in that time. Of the need of an intervention of God. I said something a couple of weeks ago that when we had finished teaching on the need of being filled with the Spirit, I was going to teach somewhat on Revelation. I don't teach on that very much, but sitting at home, I began to think about that statement that I made. I believe God began to lay some things in my heart. So if you will permit me, I'm going to put a little bit of Revelation into this and being filled with the Spirit. It's in Revelation 1:19. God speaking to John the Revelator said, write the things which thou hast seen and the things which are and the things which shall be hereafter. That one verse gives you a complete outline of everything that God the Holy Spirit is going to say from the book of Revelation. John, you write. Now, what is the revelation? The revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ. If you try to read anything else into this writing, a book of Revelation, you're missing it. You write the things which are, the things that have been, and the things which shall be. Let me leave you with the revelation right there to pick up this Holy Spirit. You must hear me. You must hear me. And I know that what I'm telling you is God talking to us. I have no doubt that what I've heard from God to talk to you. The time of our wavering is over. Our double-mindedness, our instability is over. God is moving in this hour. And those that he cannot move in, he will pass them by. You've never lived in a more critical hour, a more sensitive time. You've never lived in an hour like this. I never have. If God's going to do anything in anyone, he's going to put his strength, his spirit, his power, his dominion in the people. There's going to be those people that want it. Let me say to Father that the time of compromise is over. The time of wavering is over. The time of compromise is over. The time of making deals. You can't make a deal with the devil. Jesus said to you and I, come together. Let us reason together. You can reason with God, but you can't make a deal with the devil. I want you to hear what I'm telling you, because you're living in a different day. A different day for us. But this is a day, as it has been with the people of God all the way down through time. God's always had the people that served him, loved him, sacrificed for him. Shut the devil out of everything. Devil, I'm not going to have anything to, I don't have anything to say to you. You cannot make a bargain with me. You cannot make a deal with me. I know in whom I have believed. I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed. I've been listening to the Lord for several weeks. Brother Ward, when he preached up at the camp, he's a revival time preacher. Preachers were able to come in on the phone, watch him up there one day. So, I refused for one night. He preached for almost 1 hour and 40 minutes. Not a baby cried, not a child moved, not a human moved. He preached for 1 hour and 40 minutes on bargaining with God. Bargaining with the devil. And for 1 hour and 20 minutes, he set out before us how that the devil will come with his teeth, his lies, always trying to make a deal. But you can't make a deal with the devil. Get that fixed in your heart right now. You're living in the time of the coming of the Son of Man. The things that have been, the things that are, and the things that will be. I need to understand prophecy. You know why? Because you need to know what God is saying to you. I need to know what God is saying in this generation. That none of this is going to happen until we return to our first love. We must be returned to our first dedication. Our lives were dedicated to God. Okay, I'll say a few things. You know, we feel like there's some kind of a special understanding for children and youth. I want to tell you, youth, I want you to hear me. You're going to get close to God, and it's going to be sad. There was a man by the name of Elijah, and the word began to spread that God was going to take Elijah up. And the word of God, you Bible, tells you children, begin to make fun of Elijah. They went around and they said, go up on Baldy. Elijah was born anymore. Go up on Baldy. Go up on Baldy. God heard it. And God sent a sea bear out of the woods. And that sea bear ate those children because of the mockery they were making of the things of God. If I know anything, I know this, that every one of us are going to have to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Stop, that means you. Honor, that means you. Show, that means you. Amen? Present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Which is what you read. I believe that we need to be single-minded. Fix my mind with God and don't let it get on anything else. Center your thoughts on the things of God. Now that boyfriend, he'll come along in God's time. That girlfriend, she'll come along in God's time. Don't put that boyfriend or that girlfriend before God. Hello? God's people have always been single-minded. Something else. About those that are full of the Holy Ghost. They're not afraid to stand up for God. They are unafraid. That's why you need the Holy Ghost. You need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It'll take care of your fears, your inhibitions. I begin to think about this scripture. Train up a child in the way to face God. I want to ask you as a parent, I'm asking you a direct question. When was the last time you sat down with your child and talked to them about the way that you live? Maybe you do, but it's a legitimate question. When was the last time you sat down with that dog and said, honey, in the Word of God, you're not to be unequally yoked together when I'm here, when I suffer. Son, there is in the Word of God a path for you to walk. And here it is. When's the last time you did it? When's the last time that we took the life of that child in our hands, godly hands, spirit-filled hands, to say, this is the will of God for your life. Train up a child in the way they should go. Let me tell you who's doing the training today. The one of the place in the day. He's the one that tells them how to dress and where they can go and what they look like. Because you let some godly saint come around and say, hey, well, the Lord's not pleased with you doing that. You look at them like they're some kind of a freak. Look at them like they're some kind of a dummy. Let me tell you what's wrong with this life and this world. I'm telling you what's wrong with the church. We're not to love the world. We're not to live in the world. But that's all that we do is we live world. Something's going to happen. Like this preacher's words. I'm shaking because I know I'm telling you what God wants you to do. Something is going to break. Either God's going to break for us, or our sins are going to find us out. I preached here about 9 years ago. There was a mother that met me at that door. And she said, "Now I'm going to go along with this little person. Have I waited too late? Have I waited too late?" And the daughter that she was talking about, I know she's been married about 4 times. She was a little girl then. Somebody says, when they get old, they'll break their heart. When they get old, if they follow the way of the world of the flesh and the devil, they'll break their heart. There's only one way. And not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit. We need young people, we need parents that are not afraid to stand up against the darkness. I want everybody in this church to quote this testimony. Come out from among them and be his better. That's not a suggestion to you. That is a command. That's not a choice. Come out. Come out. If you don't want to be different for God, then you just go and be like the world. God is no respecter of persons. Your daddy may be the mayor. Your daddy may be the general. Your mother may be a saint. Your grandmother may be closer to God than anybody else. And I'll tell you, God does nothing for you. Choose you this day who you wish to be. It's in your Bible. Quote it with me. If Baal be God, quote it. If Baal be God, certainly. If God be God, be God. It's that simple. Sitting there in your thought pattern. Sitting there in your mind. I've been so disappointed with some of my dear friends. I know people that take money under the table. They're not honest with what they say. But they have a good testimony. They send a good friend. They preach a good sermon. They have a good witness. But that's the word only. If God the Holy Ghost is going to do anything in these last hours, he's going to deliver us from everything that is not under the blood by the power of the Holy Spirit. There can be no true understanding of the meaning of the intervention of God at Pentecost until you become associated with God and you know him. Your life is hidden with God in Christ. You come out from the world and you're separate. You cannot understand the crisis of this time. You cannot understand the meaning of a divine intervention into this hour unless you have the Holy Spirit. We are in that hour. We are in that time. That can be his original part of spending the Holy Spirit. He's wanting to get me into that original. Not this man-made junk. Not this modernistic junk. The original. But on the day of Pentecost, he came to stand. Not of the charismatic, not of this, not of that. Came a sound from heaven. It's your own. That's all I want, James. That's all I want. I don't need the rest of it. I don't need the rest of it. I deny the rest of it. I stand in boldness against it. If it's not washed in the blood, if it's not covered by the blood, if it does not witness the Christ, then I don't want any of it, because the Spirit of God will always witness to Jesus Christ. I don't want anything else. Immediately, we understand. And immediately, we have the key to everything. Because we've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. He tells us, when he tells you, you have an understanding that didn't come from any place except him. That came straight from heaven. It was a heaven understanding. It was a gift of heaven. I pray that God will give me the words. I pray that God will give me the anointing. I pray that God will give me favor with you. And I pray that God will give me the chance to preach to you the truth to our understanding. Don't say it. I heard of you with the hearing of the ears, but now my eyes see you. God, can I come back to that place of the original where Jesus is just a thought? Can I come back to that original where by the Spirit I see Jesus Christ? The glorified. I have a desire for that. We need explanations of the things in the world of God. The love and the need to come to you. And said the books of the Bible are in the correct order. They're in the order God wants them. He said, when you have the gospel, Jesus, the story of Christ, is that then you have the book of Acts. Because what you get of the life of Christ is not enough for it to be something in your head. You've got to have the experience. That's what the book of Acts is. It's the experience. And so then you've got the gospel. And the gospel is just plain to you. What you got? Oh, how we need to be delivered from our own thoughts. I pray you, Brother John, when we're talking about the devil of office, kind of a confidential conversation. And he told us that there's another, there are things that are sacred to us. You know what? The gentleman of God, the Holy Ghost, we get rid of sacred to us. Jesus already. Can you just say that? Don't you do that? All the musicians are coming. Would you just lift your hands and love God? Come on. Let's love God. I don't know if you can get anything out of this. But if you can get anything out of a preacher's heart, tonight I'm going to pick this up. That God the Holy Ghost is working to make possible the things of God in us. I want to be filled. I want to be filled. My friend, at the conclusion of the message, I'm touching again tonight. Talk about the gift of the Spirit. Folks, I can't give out gifts. The Bible says God gave gifts separately as he would. I can't lay my hands on you and give you a gift of speaking in tongues. catechism. And he gives us a choice to follow the law. God is working in this hour. Some are getting offended. Some are getting tired of their flesh. And some are having to get rid of this. So, if that means, put it